first off, if you tell me a bit about you, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah.
Okay, hi. I'm Sarah. Hello. I know Jo from, I met her about a year ago. She reached out on LinkedIn, we chatted, we said hi. Met here the first time for lunch. Had a little natter. But because we're in the same kind of field, inclusion, we approach it from very different ways.
Okay.
We try and support each other.
Okay.
So I attend her event, she attends mine, and do what we can do to make the carry the message on.
Okay.
Make sure people are hearing a balanced view.
Okay.
Trying to include as much as possible within the event.
Yep.
Diversity and inclusion are different things.
Well, this is one of the things I wanted to kind of ask you about. So I spoke to Jo about this and asked her. So when I said to people that I was coming today, people just goes, isn't that just going to be a room full of people in wheelchairs? And it's like, no. Well, you've gone and got diversity and you've got inclusion and you've got disability. You've got you're mixing up everything. So if we kind of just take things back.
Yeah.
So how would you define inclusion?
Okay, so I'll start off by defining diversity because it's easier that way, I think.
Okay, yeah.
So diversity is only as powerful as we think it is.
Yep.
Is if we let inclusion happen.
Yep.
And by that I mean you can be invited to a party, you can be asked to dance. Very clear distinction there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what a lot of people see and confuse diversity with inclusion and think and go down the party line of, oh, but we have diversity here.
Yeah, yeah.
Being a diverse organisation doesn't mean you're inclusive.
Yes.
Being inclusive is a whole ball game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, it's about respecting and valuing and active listening.
Yes.
Is the key point there. And often people see the challenge as too big or see, oh, we have an MBA, that's a great, why try, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And not a best practice route, but legislative route. And I think that that gets a grey area sometimes.
Sure.
And it's in part of my job. I run my own business, I'm an inclusion trainer, consultant. My new branch is events, I'm loving it, because I encourage inclusive networking and not just the token line about diversity.
Yeah.
And I work across all the sectors, government, third sector, public sector. I work with so many different organisations in the past where my input is not valued and respected enough so I can reach my potential. And that pissed me off to end. I kept getting pushed back down.
Yep.
And opportunities were given left, right and centre because often the disconnect in what it means to be inclusive kept coming up. And so what I try and do now is think back on my experiences, learn about other people's, it's always changing, always new, always been to develop, always been to learn, you know. I'm not pretending I know it all, no one does.
Yeah.
But it's about recognising where empowerment needs to happen, where you can enable empowerment without patronisation, without frustration, you know. And it's a difficult thing to grasp, but anything worth having doesn't come easy.
No, of course.
And there's no overnight fix.
Mm-hmm.
And often in the sphere of financial the city, they think, oh, we have a diverse workforce, look at us. When actually they mean we have a gender-specific program which is doing well. that it being diverse in one strand is not being inclusive.
And the
differences there aren't pointed out and called out enough.
So as a business owner and you're running your kind of and you're running these events now, is this something that now has really kind of taken off kind of recently? Are you seeing more? I suppose what you are a good barometer to see if people are now taking this seriously and if people are talking about it more and if they generally want to do something about it as well within their business. Because if you're busy, that means, and if you're being successful, that means there are more people out there who are taking it seriously and more companies that are taking it seriously. So are you busier than you were maybe 2 or 3 years ago? You know, and do you see that as equating that more companies are taking it busy? Or is this a situation where you think that people are maybe paying it lip service and maybe ticking boxes and things like that as well, yeah?
I mean, all of the above, you know, I don't do tick boxing, I don't do bottom line.
Yeah.
I work with a culture, I work with a mindset and behaviour. And that doesn't just mean one day of training and goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst thing you can do. Because if you leave with an incomplete message, you can cause more destruction than you heal.
Indeed.
And so incomplete training is dangerous.
Yep.
When people say that, I mean raising awareness of biases and then not strategizing with the company together on strategy.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the difference between an inclusion trainer and knowing your shit.
Yeah.
Because an inclusion trainer, an inclusion consultant trainer, whatever you call it, will be mindful of it's never over.
Yeah.
You haven't got it yet. You will. It takes work.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying about my advancement, I guess in the first year, I was just still learning about how to do a business.
Yeah.
And where to go and what to do and how to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognised really early on that a positive about me is that, yes, I may have a speech impairment, but I can talk. Well, actually, I can network like a bomb because I'm personable.
Yeah.
I get down to level and not in any kind of intentionally or purpose other than I care, I want to understand this more attitude. And I encourage active listening, which often doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Majority of the time, barely anyone actively listens to people a lot because often they're constructing what they're going to say next in their own mind and seeing the importance of anxiety over that rather than listening what's being said.
Well, it seems like it's more of it's an attitudinal thing, isn't it?
That's definitely
what it's about, an attitude, basically.
It's about mindset.
Yeah.
And shifting. You can't expect to change mindset overnight.
Oh, no.
It's your whole life's work and your whole life putting that into question. You know, that's really difficult to do.
Yeah.
And if people are in the denial phase, I'm a good person. I don't do that. If they're in that phase of denial, there's no way they're going to reach out.
Yeah, exactly.
If you reach the next stage, I think that's the internal. I use the 5 stages of death.
you're in denial, acceptance.
Exactly. But acceptance is the last one.
Yeah.
And often people don't reach that stage.
Yeah.
But, and they can go back to it. But it's all about learning. It's not about us and them. It's about we.
Yeah.
And learning to lift people together.
Yeah.
Not patronization. Not, I'm doing well. Not, helping in the charity sense, because we actually offer the charity model.
The word help is really difficult, isn't it? It's support and something, you know. That's one thing I've had to try and kind of, you know. So, interesting enough, so I know this is necessarily about me, but what I said, you know, when I kind of first came here this morning was that this is quite difficult, you know, because this is just not a natural environment for me to put myself in. But I suppose maybe I'm on that second stage that I have accepted that there are all kinds of things going on here, unconscious biases that I'm only now becoming possibly aware of.
Yeah.
But you don't get over that until you put yourself into situations where it's going to make you feel a little uncomfortable, and not uncomfortable in the fact that it's that more the fact that it just you, I suppose here's one of the things I'm always concerned about is am I going to put my foot in it, you know? And I think I'm not alone in that.
No.
you know people who don't have any disability or are not have never considered these kind of aspects, like white middle class, basically, a male even, you know, you're so afraid sometimes of putting your foot in it.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I think maybe what was kind of concerning me today was like, I know there's going to be, I know I've got friends who are disabled, so I'm much better at it than I used to be. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, you just kind of, I suppose, again, from the flip side is that if you just don't care too much about it, then you start to kind of get over it. You know what I mean? You're gonna put your foot in it, and you know what? And the people who you're talking to probably don't care anyway. You know what I mean? You know, and there's a balance, I think. You know, that's what.
I think that's totally, you hit the nail on the head with duration and education are a different thing.
Yeah.
If you berate, bam, instant barrier. If you educate, you open up a room.
Yeah.
Right. And I make a point, not always. And you know what? I will send you an article I wrote about my own mental health and how that has impacted my life and throughout my career. And so much of that is thinking I'm not good enough. When in a moment of clarity and recognition, I know I am, you know? But when you go into that cycle,
mm-hmm.
and when I prefer the term, you know, including the white middle class is essential, and being transparent about what we're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
why we're trying to do it, and the reasoning behind it, it's crucial because you bring everyone into the same conversation.
Mm.
You're not excluding anyone. You're not excluding the white middle class male from the talk. Because actually, that is the most often the most powerful person in the room. The most senior, the most privileged, the most influential person. And for me, I suspend the hierarchical structure with my training. Yes, it will come out. Yes, it will. But the reason behind being inclusive, as a key word, we can grow, learn, understand together.
Yeah.
And breaking that barrier between the white middle class and breaking the barrier of, shit, I don't know what I'm going to do here. It's out of my comfort zone. I'm in the deep water now,
mm-hmm.
removing that fear and trepidation, and just being for a minute and reflecting on what you have learned, what's been said, may influence in a certain way how you then approach the situation.
Yeah.
Because that is the aim.
Yeah.
For all we're doing, to be inclusive, you need to understand what inclusion means. And by breaking down barriers, and by putting yourself in an uncomfortable situation, and almost forcing yourself to get into that uncomfortable conversation,
mm-hmm.
which you might fear, and be scared to get into if it's easier anyway, that's where progress starts, and that's where progress begins.
Because it's an irrational fear. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It is.
It's completely ridiculous, isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the whole point of something like this is it should be a complete leveler. Mm. You know, there's, you know, and...
let's not forget that people, everyone has bias.
No, yeah, yeah.
We all have it.
Yeah.
I think people get very, very, very confused about negativity association with bias. We forget bias is key to survival. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lion, you can run from it, right? You're not going to stick around and see what happens. So, and that is a survival instinct that kept us alive,
yeah.
And kept us in evolution, right? So it's lethal. Where it becomes damaging is when it affects perception of people.
Yeah.
And that perception is influenced by the way you've been brought up, teachers, values, respect, everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to completely question that is no way. I haven't seen it, actually. It might be a way. But I haven't come across it yet.
Yeah.
Of someone being like, yes, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't happen like that.
No,
you know? And to break down and question your fundamental beliefs and attitudes isn't easy.
No, no, not at all. No.
And it's not easy for anyone. No. It's really all about uniting, educating, not berating. And being vulnerable to a point where you actually put your hand up and say, I don't know that answer.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
So that will open up doors more than being like, of course I know that. I'm not sure. It's sort of being comfortable enough to admit ignorance.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Thank you very much,
like
Sarah. That was brilliant. Before we go, though, before we close
of course,
off, feel free to give your company a plug. You know, tell us about your company.
Hi. I run a business, Sarah Van Fusion. I do consultancy in a lot of areas, strategy overhaul, unconscious bias strategy.
Yep.
I don't do off-the-shelf training. I feel like that has a place, but it's not with me.
Yep.
And that needs to be carefully looked at for people, because I see the negativity in that, you know. I consult, I train. My newest branch is events. They have been going very well, which I'm very happy about.
Brilliant.
Because I realised that I wasn't getting enough work through consultancy alone or training alone, and I was like, why not invite people in,
mm-hmm.
rather than relying on them to come to you.
Yep.
You find a way of getting them to come to you in a casual setting with complimentary drinks, with, you know, an environment and atmosphere of people who want to be there.
Yeah.
That's where it comes to its own, and inclusive networking is my jam, you know, I love it. And networking, I can talk for England, as you might have guessed, you know.
Well, we're about to run out of batteries, I think.
But yeah, so that's my end of my pack, but check out my website, and I'll give you my information.
Yeah, yeah, give me your details, brilliant.
Because I think I'm not a go home at the end of the day, switch off, I love my job today. There's always more to learn,
indeed.
Always more to do. Never stop what we're doing, because why would I?
Brilliant.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
You just The Marketing Rules Podcast is a Thinking Circles production.